verse number 15. 1 John 2:15, you all know it well as I do. Probably most of us can quote it. The Bible says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Love not the world. Many times we've heard that preached, we've heard it repeated, I think that a lot of us misunderstand really what the world, or what the Bible is talking about when it talks about the world. Now, the word world is used in this epistle alone 23 times, and we find it used throughout the Bible. If you study that word world, which is the word cosmos, which means a set order or a definition of a certain thing. Things are set in a certain order. They're classified, and we've talked today about the world of sports. Different things we refer to as a world because it is a set up order, a system, the way that things operate. And that's what the word cosmos means, a certain defined order, the way that things are set up. So I want to consider the definition of that word and the way that we find it defined in the Bible. Now, in the Bible, whenever you interpret the Bible and you want to find out what something means, you always have to go to the context. If you don't go to the context, then you're going to wind up with a misinterpretation. You're going to wind up lost. Now, by the context, we mean leaving a word or a portion of Scripture exactly where it lies in the Word of God. Not yanking one from Isaiah and one from Acts and one from different places. Put them all together to back up your little theory of what you happen to be trying to pound with somebody else. Instead of taking a verse of Scripture or a word of Scripture and interpreting it right where it lies. Now, if you study the Bible and consider the word world, you find it's used three different ways in the Bible. We find, first of all, that the word world is used in reference to God's creation here, this old terrestrial ball we live on we call Earth. The natural man, they call it nature. Mother Nature, they seem to refer to it as. God's created handiwork is referred to as the world. We live in that particular world. We're confined to this world. Talking about God's creation. The Bible says in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. We find in the Bible three different appropriations of the word heavens. We find the sky that you and I look at. We find the outer spaces up there. And we also find God's heaven, the celestial heaven that God prepared for us. So we find many different words in the Bible that have many different meanings depending on the context where you find them. And so we've got to come to a conclusion of just what he's talking about here in this verse when he says, love not the world. Is he talking about the earth? I don't particularly believe that he's just talking about the earth, not to love the earth. I think the earth is beautiful. I think God, whenever he created this place, he did a good job. For even he said after he finished, he saw that it was beautiful. Amen. And I believe it's beautiful. And to realize that this old earth is under a curse, and realizing that one day that curse is going to be lifted, when you compare what it is today and think about that when that curse is lifted, it's going to be even more beautiful. My, how wonderful that place is going to be. So in the Bible, when you read the word world, sometimes it refers to the natural creation of God. It refers to the world that was formed. So the word world refers to the earth. It also refers to mankind, refers to humanity, the world of men, if you will. Now that's the particular word that we find used in John 3:16, where it says, for God to love the world. Now, it wasn't that God was particularly fond of this terrestrial ball, although I'm sure that he liked it. He wouldn't make the way he was. But when John said God to love the world that he gave his only begotten son, he was talking about there in that context the world of mankind. How do we know that? Because God gave his only begotten son that we might be saved, that we might have eternal life. He didn't do that for this ball. He did it for the world of mankind. God so loved the world. So I don't think that this context we're reading in here, love not the world, refers to the world of mankind, do you? Because God said he's the love of the world, so we ought to love the world of mankind. He's not talking here about the world of mankind. But there's a third reference in which the word world is used in the Bible, and that is talking about the system of this world, the order of this world, the order of this world and the way that it operates. And I believe that's the word that we're going to use right here, that we, as we interpret this verse of Scripture, that whenever he says, love not the world, he's talking about don't fall in love. And what it really implies is don't count precious to you the order and the operation of this world and the things that go on therein. Now, we've got to go back to the reason that John was writing in the beginning and get an application in his day. Remember, he was writing to the Gnostics who believed that there were an elite spiritual crowd And that there was a separation of body and the spirit, and they never contaminated one another. And so the body really didn't matter, that you had to be this mystical, spiritual being to communicate with God. But other than that, you just don't live the way you wanted to. So they were really a carnal lot. They were really a fleshy lot because they didn't think that anything could contaminate their spirit, so they just did whatever they wanted to do. Paul talked about those that referred to it as this way. He said, meat for the belly. Their implication was that God created meat to be eaten. God gave me certain desires and certain lusts. Therefore, I should fulfill them, which is what Paul was fighting whenever he wrote the Church of Corinth. So these men lived licentious lives while, on the other hand, claiming to be spiritual people. And so John's writing here, and he says, don't you, as a child of God, fall in love with this world, the way that it operates and it's ordered, what's going on in the world. Amen? I mean, we all love people. That has nothing to do with that. Sometimes we get carried away and we think whenever we talk about loving not the world, it means not to associate with people. You got to associate with people. How else are you going to reach anybody? How else are you going to have an influence in this world if you don't associate with the world of men? But it's talking about being separated from the system and order and operation of this old world. Now, that's the definition of that word, as it's used in this context, and he said not to love that system. So we want to go away and talk about the divisions within that world. You see, we can go further because we look out and we see a physical world here, but the reality and the truth of the matter is there are two worlds. We see a physical world out here that is set in order and it's operating a certain way and it does that all the time, but behind the system and the order of this world, there's another world. There is an invisible world. That's the word. That's the world that the secular world today wants to deny. And the Bible teaches that this world system that you see is actually being governed and it operates according to the invisible world that has been set up. That's what Paul was saying in the book of Ephesians chapter 6 when he said the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. You cannot take the natural man, take a stick or a book and try to beat something in his head to make him do something. You can't do that. Right? The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. But they're spiritual. They're mighty. They're pulling down a stronghold. And he says that the order of this world is governed and controlled by powers and principalities. Now, when he uses that word, according to the powers of darkness and the principalities, he's actually talking about that invisible world. That's exactly what he's telling you about. And you cannot study the Bible and study the kingdoms of the Bible, Egypt and Babylon and Greece and the Persian Empire, the Roman Empire, and all those without plainly seeing that God draws a picture and shows that behind the physical system, there's an invisible system that is causing it to do what it does. I've got news for you tonight. The devil has an invisible empire tonight in Washington, D.C., in London, in Tokyo. He has his own invisible empire that is trying to set in order the things that are happening today. And that's where his seat is today. The devil's not sitting down on the bar stool. The flesh has already got those folks. We'll deal with that next week, next time. We're just dealing tonight with this. But the devil's not sitting down there. Huh? He has certain spheres in this world wherein he operates. And we see three divisions of the world that I can think of. I've mentioned to you before, but we're going to go through them again tonight. The first division of the world that we see is the political world. The world of politics. Now, this whole world operates under an umbrella of politics. This whole world is political. You can't go anywhere that there's not a political order set up somewhere. Amen? Somebody is ruling over somebody else. Isn't that so? And there's nobody that can say that they really are independent. They're their own person. They rule their own life. If you believe that, you don't file income taxes here. You're going to find out just how much you rule your own life. You're going to find that somebody that is going to tell you that there are certain things that you'll do. There is a political system today, a political world that is functioning, that is being governed and directed by an invisible world. Now, the Bible makes that plain. God didn't slow, didn't hesitate whenever he took the Babylonian king, whenever he took the kings of the Bible and related that behind them was the power of darkness and the devil that was causing him to do the things that they did. So the political system today is being influenced and formed by an invisible order. And the Bible says not to fall in love with this order. Now listen, our country was founded on this book, Our country was founded upon Christian principles. They had to leave Great Britain, they had to leave England because of oppression from King James, the very one who ordered the Bible to be written, and he lived a very loose life, Bible says. But that just shows me that God can use the heathen king. God always has, whenever God gets ready to make a move. God established this country. It was founded upon biblical principles. But ever since it was founded, the devil has been moving in his invisible empire to try to turn us away from our godly position as one nation under God, to cause us to become one nation under him. Why do you think all this secular crowd today would like to do away with the Pledge of Allegiance and everything that refers to God? Because they're the invisible empire today is trying to turn our nation away from God, just like it's always done to every other nation. That's what it does. Now, this political world is an economic world. This whole world revolves today around economics. I don't care who's president, I don't care who's emperor, who's king, or who's queen. The one that controls the economy, the one that controls the money, if you will, is the one that controls the nation and controls the power and controls the world. And the Bible makes it very plain that there is an invisible empire and order that is trying to bring everything under one economical umbrella. And the book of Revelation draws us a picture of that individual who's going to come up with a solution, a plan whereby we can all work under the same economic umbrella. We'll have a mark upon us, and without that mark, we'll not be able to buy and sell. We're not going to be here, but those that are here will not be able to buy and sell without that mark, the number 666, the number of the beast. And so we realize today that the political world is an economical world being governed by the devil. You know, things are moving so fast now. I used to never pay any attention to the stock market. Still don't understand. It's over my head. But what's interesting to me is whenever one place gets in trouble, it affects everybody. If Wall Street, if our stock market takes a dive, they get worried in London. The London Stock Exchange. They get worried in Tokyo. Amen. They get worried all around the world. Why? Because the world's economy is so yoked together today like it has never been before, that whenever one country suffers like they do in some kind of economic fall, then it affects the rest of the world. Now, when the United States went through the Depression, it didn't affect the rest of the world quite like it did us because the economies weren't so tied together. But today, this invisible empire has so yoked the world together that we are actually dependent upon each other. Why do you think the U.S. government sends millions upon millions of dollars overseas to small, little countries trying to support their economy? Because if their economy fails, then it's going to affect the rest of the world. That's plain and simple the way it is. Why do you think right now they're in the process of trying to bail out the savings and loan institutions? Huh? Because whenever one economical institution takes a dive or falls, it affects the rest of the world and everything that goes on. And the devil, this invisible system, is bringing together today the economical system like it's never been brought together before. Why, most of you today have a Visa card in your pocket. There's a Russian that's got one today, too. There's a Russian walking down, no doubt walking around Red Square, and has a Visa card in his pocket. Never before has Russia ever been a part of an economical system like it is today. And even old Gorbachev is wanting to become a part of the free market in the world. I mean, we've never seen, who would have dreamed it? And old prophecy preachers who wrote books, they never even thought about that Russia would ever come to a place where it would loosen up to the point that it could actually become a part of the world market. But we see that happening today. They have checking accounts. They have Visa cards. We could go on. And so they're moving into the world economy. They were already affected by it, and they realized that in order for them to keep above water, they have to be a part of it. And so we can really see, whereas all the world is going to wonder after the beast, and all the world is going to have his mark in their forehead or in their hand. Amen. You see, these things aren't just happening today, and that's why it ought to excite us. Because it's just one of the biblical signs that Jesus is coming back to you. The whole world is coming under this economic, political umbrella, if you will. Why? Because man today is trying to create a world for himself. Huh? I mean, even the rock and rollers have concerts for peace. They hold big concerts for hungry people. You see, man today is trying to set up a system, trying to set up a world for himself. And man has it pretty good today overall. And man is scared to death that something is going to take his world. That's why everybody's afraid of nuclear warfare. That's why they're so afraid today that somebody's going to push a button, because if they do, they know it's going to mess up their little world. Mm-hmm. Because, see, their world is right here and now. And they're not planning for another world. They're not planning for the future, for the hereafter. Amen? This is the world that's being set up and built specifically for man. It's a world of money. Man, money is the number one thing today. Work 14 jobs, work 12 hours a day, 7 days a week. Just do all that you can that you can get money. Now, we'll forget there was a magazine at the fire station one time a man had bought. He kind of thought he was a Wall Street wizard or something. He was going to learn about investing. So he had subscribed to a magazine, and I saw it laying there. And it talks about how to be financially independent by a certain age. And I've already passed that age, but I picked it up and read it anyway. I said, you know, I'm stupid. I don't know much about money. I get it. That's sense. And so that's all I know about money. And that's why God hasn't been said, give me a whole lot. I get it. So I picked it up and began to read it. And here was the plan. You put everybody in the family to work, including the children. I mean, there are certain jobs that they can even do. And you don't do anything as a family until you get 40 years old and then you're financially independent. I guess so. You also be dead from stress. You won't have a family because your kids will already be committed suicide because they didn't have a family. I said, this is the most stupid thing I ever read in my life. Why? Because we live in a world being set up for man that's based upon one thing, and that's the almighty dollar or the almighty yen or whatever it happens to be that the devil happens to be set up in your particular area. And politics is all behind you. Now, years ago when our country was established, we elected representatives. And by the way, if you'll study history, you'll find that our representatives were not given those positions as full-time jobs. They were all other things. They all had other jobs that they did, and they just simply went to Washington to represent the people. They didn't live up there like they do today. But today, we have taken our representatives, you see, and we have so many great issues around here that they have to live there and go back and forth. They don't just represent us anymore. They represent the almighty dollar. You don't get in office without a dollar bill. If you don't believe that, then you go get a petition and get enough names to get your name on a ballot and see how many votes you can get without advertising in the newspapers, without advertising on television and in magazines. You don't get anywhere. And if you don't have the news media behind you, you're not going anywhere. Because this whole system today is based upon the dollar bill. And that's why it's hard to get an honest man in a political office. And when you do, he may be honest when he gets there, but they say he's usually not whenever he leaves. And how many times have we had to see examples of political corruption? Now, what causes this political corruption? The dollar bill. The special interest groups that have the big bucks behind them, that can afford to have the lobbyists, you see up there, to lobby for them to get their special interests and issues passed so that they in turn can make more dollars in. And that's the fault of the system. Now it is based upon money and not principle. When it first started, it was based upon principle. And they represented us for certain issues, but now it's all based upon money. And our world today, our political system today, is all based upon a dollar bill. Now, in Jesus' day, it was the political world that condemned him. They brought Jesus before Pilate. Pilate had the power to release him. Pilate had the power to set him free. But instead, they condemned an innocent man. He twice admitted that he found no fault in Jesus. And let him go and be condemned to death. Amen? So, you didn't expect much out of this political system today. Amen? I mean, you have the right to write your congressman. You have the right to do a whole lot of things politically. But bottom line, you're not going to get a whole lot done, are you? Unless you're able to, en masse, get a great crowd of folks, somebody supports those particular issues. That ain't easy. Right again, we go right back to the dollar. Right back to the dollar. So, one division of the world today is a political world. The second division of the world that we see today is a religious world. A religious world. I mean, you can't go anywhere that you don't find religion, one form or another, amen? I mean, you're going to find religion just wherever you go. The communist world was supposed to be atheistic, but they're worshiping things in regards to what they say they are. They're worshiping something, and whether they want to admit it or not. Now, whereas the political system is an economic system, this is an ecumenical system. Now, remember what we said. There's an invisible army, an invisible world behind the physical world, causing things to happen that are happening. And just as there is an invisible world behind the political system, there's an invisible world behind the religious system today. Amen? And the move today is to bring all religions under one umbrella, just like the economical system is going to be under one umbrella, and we can all unite for love of brotherhood, love of man, and love of peace. And that's the banner under which we fly. You'll find very few religions, you'll find very few organizations, large halls, you'll find very few who do not illustrate and propound the doctrine of the fatherhood of God, the brotherhood of man. If not the fatherhood of God, at least the brotherhood of man. And all fraternal organizations, which means brotherhood anyway, they claim to be brothers. Now, you and I are brothers and sisters in a different sense. I mean, but what I'm trying to tell you is the world today is trying to bring all religions under one umbrella together. And it's mighty plain to see why those things are happening. By the way, if you ever been in a church where there was a word united in front of that title, it more than likely is a part of the World Council of Churches, the National Council of Churches, and they are an ecumenical group that believe that we ought all come together as brothers and sisters under the fatherhood of God, the brotherhood of man, which is a lie anyhow. God's not the father of everybody spiritually. God's not, and we're not brothers with every man. We are neighbors, but we are not brothers in the sense that of the spiritual realm. Amen? I mean, the Bible makes it plain that the natural man cannot receive the things of the Spirit of God because the Spirit is apparent. The only way you can understand it is by the Spirit of God that is in you. And that's where we're different right there. So the world today is being set up today so that we'll all fall under this religious head and strive for world peace. And the Bible makes it plain that the devil's always used religion to unite man under his banner rather than God. And the Bible shows the Antichrist, the beast in the book of Revelation, chapter 13, that beast comes riding in on a woman wearing scarlet, a mystery of Babylon, the harlot it's referred to, which is a religious institution, and there's a false prophet involved there, another beast, and they're going to lift him up as God himself, and they're going to say, wow, look at him. Who can make war with the beast? Isn't he marvelous? Isn't he wonderful? Amen. I mean, who would have thought 10 years ago would have been entered into your mind that on the cover of Time magazine you would have found the Russian premier as the man of the year? Who would have thought it? Does not that tell you that things are moving faster than we think? Huh? And brother, the world has fallen in love with Mikhail Gorbachev. Huh? And all he's done is really, whether sincere or not, I have my doubts, but he has tried outwardly to paint a picture to people that he is a man of peace. And he ain't got a whole lot done, but he's impressed a whole lot of folks. What's going to happen, I ask you, when the real beast, when the real Antichrist appears on the scene, and he begins to do the wonderful things that he does? And the religious world falls behind him and says, this is the man that can lead us to brotherhood and can lead us to peace. What will they do? They'll worship him, won't they? So the devil's behind this religious system today. It's a world that is based upon worship of man, not God. It's a world of morals, if you will. Not the morals of God, but the morals of man. Like in the book of Judges, where it said every man did that which was right in his own eyes. I mean, can you really define moral without the Word of God? No, you can't do it. Huh? You see, we have laws in the United States of America that says you can do this and you can't do that. But we cannot define what is moral and what is immoral. Huh? We have laws in the United States of America that says that people that live together ought to be married, but we can't enforce it. Huh? And there's so many people today just living together that it has become an accepted fact and an accepted practice in America. And so if you say anything about it, you're a nut. Because to them, there's nothing morally wrong with it. I mean, they might even tell you that they're practicing to get married. They're trying it out before they commit themselves. That's the stupidest thing I ever heard of. Maybe you see them talking about it no more. It's a world that's based upon man's morals, not God's morals. It's based upon a system that says if your good works outweigh your bad works, then you'll be all right. And that's a lie out of hell. It's not based upon Christ. It's based upon man's morals and man's doctrine all together. I would remind you that it was the religious world that crucified Christ. The political world may have condemned him, but it was the religious world that crucified him. It was that almighty Sanhedrin, those Pharisees, those leaders of Israel, who shouted, "Crucify him, let his blood be upon us." Huh? That said, "We have no king but Caesar." You see how the religious crowd was willing to go to the political crowd to get what they wanted? The same thing is happening today. Huh? Brother, the religious world today is your enemy. I'm more scared of the religious crowd than I am Washington. Huh? I mean, Washington, next week, they probably won't come out here and cut our throats, but I tell you what, religious person will cut your throat. I know most of you don't believe that. But it is the truth. Same religious world, inspired, instructed, constructed, devised by the devil and the invisible order of this world that crucified Jesus Christ, is against everything that is right, righteous, and godly, and that exalts Christ. And if you rock their little religious house, they'll stomp on you. Many of the wars that have been fought in ages past were fought over religion. Because there were differences in their religion. That's why the world today says, let's get all the religions together, and that way it'll help bring peace in our world. We'll have that much more to unite around. Amen. This religious world today is your enemy. You're not to love this political system. You're not to love this religious system today. You say, well, don't you think we ought to go to church? Sure, you ought to go to church. But this is not a religion. If it is, I'm on that. Christianity is not religion. Christianity is life. More abundant. Christianity is personal experience, personal relationship with God the Father through Jesus Christ the Son. That's what Christianity is. And I don't want nothing to do with religion. This building keeps the rain off our head, but that's where it stops. This is no more the house of God than my house is, except for the fact that God is here with his people, just like God did the house with you. So when you're at the house, you can say, this is the house of God. Because God's there. You think he can't handle it, he can't. Huh? This religious world today, my friend, is your enemy. Weird people say all the time, well, I think people from all the churches are going to go to heaven. I don't know why they want to use that phrase, because it's really something stupid. You'd be more accurate to say that I believe people from every religion are going to heaven. I believe that a whole lot easier, wouldn't you? Because you can go to hell from living house of prayer. Religion of the world is your enemy. Why? Because they're ordered and set up by an invisible principle and power. Huh? Why do you think the folks have so much power today? I mean, that bunch, and I ain't being critical of them, a whole lot more just as bad, not worse. I mean, all you got to do is be a pope or be a priest, it seems like you'd be able to read. I did learn to do that. I mean, a man standing there flipping pages for you, just read it. But he got more power than anybody in the man on the face of the earth. Huh? More influence. I mean, when he come to America, folks was dancing and putting on all kinds of shows, and he'd sat there and read his little thing. Man, it was wonderful. And I'm not being critical, because all religion is the same way. He just happened to be the most powerful one at this time, you see. And so, this world system today is going to be your end in the future. Huh? Amen. And when the religious system gets a political system behind them, you're in trouble. Now listen, if you try to interpret Matthew chapter 25 any other way than that, then you're in trouble. Because that's what he's talking about. After Matthew chapter 24, talking about the tribulation and all the things that are going to happen, he goes to talking about, I was hungry, and he fed me not. I was naked and you clothed me not. I was in prison, you didn't visit me. What is he talking about there? He's talking about those during the tribulation period who will not receive the mark of the beast, that will have no way to purchase, to buy, or to sell, that will have to depend solely upon somebody bringing something to them and helping them out. Now, that's where Matthew 25 lies. Leave it there. If we want to take it and take it, well, that means if we don't do this, we don't do that, then we're going to be in trouble with God. Well, that's true to a degree. That's what that chapter means right there. Let's go on. Third division of the world is a secular world today. Political world is an economical system. Religious world is an ecumenical system. But the secular world is just simply an educational system. I mean, the secular world has got so smart. They've got so intelligent that they cannot even consider the fact that there's a God. We've got so smart that we say, well, surely that God's a myth, like Santa Claus. And nobody has proven there's a God. That's a lie. The Bible itself proves that there's a God, because the heaven declares the glory of God and His handiwork. But nevertheless, they cannot fathom that there is an infinite being who has all power in heaven and earth, that created this world, this universe. They've got so knowledgeable and educated that they cannot stoop that low to believe anything without having the evidence. And that's a lie, because they believe in evolution, and there's no evidence for that. All it is theory. And by the way, there are about a dozen different theories of evolution in the origin of the universe. The expanding universe theory, the oscillating universe theory. They can't even agree to scientists say. Well, they got so smart that they just say, well, they can't be a God because we're just so wonderful and we're so smart. We can handle things like that. We'll figure out where we come from. And we can't understand it. I can't receive the fact that there is a God. The Bible says that they're ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. But a man's never been more educated than he is today on this world. Never. Except maybe before the flood. Those people weren't dumb. They don't think they were. Never before has man been so educated and so stupid. And every time there's a national problem, such as AIDS, the first thing this crowd hollers is, well, we need more education. That's the stupidest thing I ever heard of. I'll hardly know anybody above the age of 10 that don't know about AIDS and how you get it. But every time that there's a problem, we want to solve it by our educational means. Today all you hear is, we need to improve our educational system, and they're right. They need to get God back in it and get the Ten Commandments back upon the wall and show what true morality is based upon. It's not based upon the word of a teacher. It's not based upon the word of a politician, but it's based upon somebody who is holy and morally pure, and that's God. That's the only standard for righteousness. And until we get that back in the educational system, it will continue to go down and be nothing but a candle. Now, they've come up with this great intelligent idea today that our children want to go to school year-round. Just another move to get their hand in your home, to divide your home, and to possess the mind of your child. You say, are you against education? No, I'm not against education, but I'm for the family. I believe I ought to have my child more than a cotton-picking school does. And that I ought to be the main influence in their life and not that school. But because mom and pop and brother and sister and everybody works today, we gotta have somewhere to place the child, so let's have food all year round, and that'll kill two birds with one stone. We'll have babysitters take care of the children while they're going to school, and I can go out and work, make a dollar, so I can buy a red Porsche or a Cadillac. So that's the theory, that's the mental system that the world has today. It's a secular system based upon education, based upon the wisdom of man, not the knowledge of God. Not the wisdom of God. That's what the whole book of Proverbs is about, whether or not you realize that. Wisdom of man versus the wisdom of God. The book of wisdom. The world of materialism. Boy, you know, and don't give this tape to nobody. I drive a fire truck for a living. I squirt water out of hose. And they want me to get a college degree now to do that. You ask Sister Jackie about it, her husband's got to get one. If he wants to get a promotion. Of course, I'll say the same. ignorant stupid, and out of lead fire truck squirt water. But you see, the idea that man has today is the more education you have, the better that you can do anything. And that is so stupid, isn't it? Now, we have to try to get our children to go to college, because if you don't go to college, you're not going to be able to get a better job, you're not going to be able to get the bundle of bucks, you won't get to have the red Porsche, you won't get to have the fine things in life. And so we want to educate our people so that they can be full of materialism. And God's out. So if Donnie Murphy wants to get a promotion and go up, and I may be fired if I ever get the fire department, then he's going to have to get a college education. He's going to have to get an associate's degree. He's going to have to learn how to diagram a sentence, conjugate a verb, to do something he's been doing for 14 years. I'm just using that as an example. That's all in the world I'm doing. Don't misunderstand me. I think education is fine as long as a man has his priorities right and realizes that the source of wisdom is God Almighty. And it's all right for you to go to college to learn how to program a computer, to learn how to replace a chip inside that computer. It's all right for you to go to learn how to do something and how to be better at it. As long as you realize that the world consists of more than a world of materialism, and that there's more to life than the possession of things, and that's the problem with our young people today. Instead of loving our children and trying to have a family, we're busy trying to give them things. And we want to give them things to make them happy, when what they really want inside is a mama and a daddy. Some of the fondest memories I have of my childhood was when my uncles would carry us swimming. Boy, that was just a treat, because I had a man that was going to spend time with me and was going to do things with me and just have a good time with them. And that's why when I get a chance to take children swimming and do things with them, I do it, because I know they don't forget. When my nieces and nephews come and stay with me, I do things with them. I spend time with them. I ain't got a lot of money, but I can do things with them. And I know from experience they'll never forget. They'll never forget. But this secular world today is based upon materialism. You can't be happy if you don't have a brand new car. How are you going to be happy living in a mobile home? How are you going to be happy without Calvin Klein on your hip? How are you going to survive? You redneck hillbilly, you must be stupid. That's the attitude of the secular world. Political world condemns Christ. Religious world crucifies him. Secular world just contradicts everything that he said. He said that he created all things, but they did not. He says there's a heaven, there's a hell. The secular world says that's stupid, that's myth. He says that there's a prince of this world, there is a devil. The world says that's just a story made up to scare little children, they can do what they want to do. And the secular world, the educational system, is set up by the invisible empire to contradict everything that God said and that Christ said. That's what's behind it. Why do you think the world wants to get their hands on their children? You see, the Japanese go to school all the time now. They go to school all the time. And so in order for us to keep up with the Japanese now, our wonderful educators say, well, we need to do that. I just don't buy it. I just don't buy it. I guess that's why I need to go get a degree. Maybe I'd understand it better. I got educated. I done tried to one time. If I couldn't handle a religious crowd, I can't expect to handle a secular crowd. Okay, that's the division of the world. Perhaps you can think of more. That's three that I happen to think of. And I believe today there's an invisible order, the invisible system that's governing everything that's happening today. If you don't realize that, you'll be in deep trouble when the final tally comes up. Third, we want to talk about the denial of the world. Now, that's what this verse is all about. He said, love not the world. Amen? Denial of what? Love not what? Don't fall in love with this political system. Don't fall in love with this religious system. Don't fall in love with this secular system. Now, I looked up that word love. That word's agape. That's the love that God has for people. That is a word for love that implies a preciousness. And he said, you're not to love this world and count it precious to you like you do God.
That's what he says.
Now, that I thought about that. And I said, well, that probably means that it is all right to love this world of men with a phileo love. I mean, you got to have a concern for him. If you don't have that, you're not going to try to do anything to help him. But you are not to count this world or anything in it more precious than God. Huh? He says, don't love that world. What does that world consist of? What's he saying? Deny what? He said, don't you have a desire to have what the world has? Now, don't get me wrong. I like things. I like poles. I mean, I'm glad I don't live in a buck tent on a yard full of sand. I like things just like everybody else. But it says, don't desire to have things just because the world has them. You heard the old expression, trying to keep up with the Joneses, haven't you? And the idea that we have today is that possession implies success and happiness. And so, in order for you to be a success and to be happy in this world, then you have to have what the world has. And that's just a lie. It's not true. That happiness, it is a byproduct. It's not really itself. Happiness comes from something else. Joy is a different story. And our children watch TV. Why do you think that these advertisers, brothers, spend thousands and thousands of dollars? Why do you think that beer manufacturers spend millions of dollars for a 30-second spot during the commercial of the Super Bowl at halftime? Because of the power of advertising. And when a child sits there in front of the television and watches that thing, and those commercials come up, you see, here's what they're saying. They're saying, you will not be happy till you have this product. So tell mama to go buy it. And Budweiser will say, you can drink and still be skinny. You won't get a beer belly and get fat if you drink Bud Light. So believe it. Huh? Love not the world, desire not to have the things that the world has just because you want to keep up with everybody else. Huh? Now, you see, we could go to the extreme like some of the monks and the other religious organizations did years and years past, where they would separate themselves from the world and build a monastery or a structure, and they'd isolate themselves and they wouldn't have nothing, you see. But then on the other hand, they didn't give nothing to the world. You see what I'm saying? You can go overboard. I mean, there's nothing wrong with having things. But if you want to get you a brand new pickup because your neighbor got a brand new pickup, and if you want to wear Calvin Klein jeans to school that have been beat over a rock and holes blow them with shotgun blast, just because the rest of the world does it, then it's wrong. Because you can keep the cold off your legs with a pair of Kmart jeans just as good. Huh? Now, I'm not being mean. And I'm not saying if you have those, that you're not right. I ain't saying that at all. Because I went to JCPenney's a while back. I used to love their dress pants to buy some, and I found some of the God-awful mess. Couldn't find no breeches at all to wear. I said, that's it. I ain't bought nothing from Penny in years. Don't sue me. I mean, just because you can't find a pair of ordinary breeches anymore. You say, well, I don't like the way you look. No, how well, you don't matter. I ain't real fond of it either. I knew about it. And I don't believe a pair of holy stone beaten blue jeans is going to make any difference. Because there ain't nothing you lose head. I done found that out. So, we're not to have a desire to have what the world has and count it precious to it. That's what he's saying here. And we're not to desire to look like the world looks. Boy, I tell you. I never forget, and I've said it before. Some of you heard it, some of you probably haven't. I was in England from 1960 to 63 when the Beatles came out. And, I was a teenager then, and boy, the whole world wondered after them. And I was there when they came out. I saw them the first time they were ever on TV, when they first came out of Liverpool, young lads, and never thinking they would be what they became later. They came to America, and boy, the whole place went flat crazy, screaming and hollering, you know. And the Beatles had their certain haircut at the time. It wasn't really as long as it later became, and this world living in the front and all, you know. And I was over there in England when they come out. And we were transferred back to the States, and I entered into high school over here in the ninth grade, and all the boys had their hair like the Beatles. And here I was, I had the same old head. And I said, I don't understand that, because All you're doing really is copying somebody else. I said, anybody can, I mean, y'all all look alike now, and y'all look like the Beatles, but you ain't the Beatles. So what good to do if you comb your hair that way? And I didn't understand it then. And I got to playing music and saw what those girls crazy. But they like that long hair and that stuff. And I let me in on some. Desire to look like the world looks. Why? Because again, the world says if you don't look like so-and-so, you can't be happy. And if you don't like Michael Jackson, you must be nuts. I never will forget it. Michael Jackson come out on Hoopla Holler, was on a certain show, had one glove, I don't know which hand it was on. Man, it wasn't long, you saw folks walking around with one glove on the hand. I mean, if I'm going to buy a set of gloves, I'm going to buy two. Because I wear gloves to keep from tearing my hands up and keep getting cold, and one ain't going to do you a whole lot of good, except playing golf. But what I'm trying to say is, the world, I mean people, men, they want to look like the world. Whatever happens to be hot, fashionable, that's what they want to do. And the Bible, what it's saying here is, don't fall in love with the way the world looks and as I look at them, because they change every day. Brother Mickey's flat top been out for years. It's come back. I got news for you. I've got some ties in my closet that wide. You know why? Because they were in one time. Now the thinner one's in. I got one out one day to go with the coat. You know, I'm going to wear one day off except in the wintertime. And I held that thing up and said, goodness, it looks like a flat. And I used to wear this thing. But I didn't look odd. Why? Because everybody was wearing those big wide ties. And I still couldn't bring myself to wear it because it really looked so goofy. But it didn't look goofy at the time. I was right in there with the rest of the crowd, you see. When he says love, not the world, he's saying don't desire to look like the rest of the world. You know? And that's one thing I learned from that Beatle business, was be your own person. Just be your own person. Learn to think for yourself. Goes off and does something, doesn't mean you have to go and do it. Got us here a catalog today. We're looking in it for school children's clothes and stuff. And man, is the office looking stuff and expensive? I just couldn't believe it. Man. My poor mom, I don't know how she ever raised seven of us. I don't know. I don't know if I looked like the world back then or not. I was too concerned. Different thing. But he says you ought not desire to look like the world. I mean, believe it or not, if you just hang on, be yourself, you'll be back inside again for long. Now, let me ask you this. I know we're going long, but listen. Why do you think fashions change like they do? Did you ever stop to think about that? You see, during the times of Jesus and the times of the only change of fashion in Jesus' day, by the way, was in the religious craft, what they wore. Never mind. The change of fashion today, do you know why it's the way that it is? How do you think those colors make money? If plain blue jeans and purple shirts with what everybody wore, and it never changed, pretty soon you'd have a closet full of plain blue jeans, purple shirts, you wouldn't have to buy none for ages. And you know what? They wouldn't make no money. So some brilliant economist come up with the idea, well, if we'll just every year have fashion shows and parades in Paris and other places, and we'll go on TV and in the papers and advertise and say, this is what everybody's wearing, then everybody will say, well, my blue jeans and purple shirt won't do no more. I'm going out and get me some of them. And they're going to get them, you see. Because if we don't have a change of fashion to proceed like they do, then merchants quit making money. And that's what's behind it all. So whenever you go out and you buy something because the rest of the world's wearing it and the rest of the school children are wearing it, and I know you're under pressure, believe me, I feel sorry for you. I do. And I don't hold it against you if you wear blue jeans that's got no cuffs, that they've been tore, and they've been raked over. I don't hold that against you one bit, because I know what it's got to be like in school. But you ought to consider this, being in your own person. Because I don't care if you deck yourself in silver and gold and scarlet and purple. Put a crown on your head. That doesn't make you one bit of a better person. That doesn't add one thing to your character. Because it don't matter if you're stripped down naked or if you're wearing the finest apparel in the finest store, you're still the same person. Not going to add one thing to you. If you ever realize that, it'll help you a whole lot. And guess what? When I was in school, I used to criticize the nerds that had the wore the breeches up to here.
I walked around. They didn't ever act like they cared what they looked like, you know. Their hair would be all messed up and they wore glasses. But guess who's making the six-figure salary today? Not the macho men that wore the things that were in style, and they were great football players, and they were just they were up and up in school. You just think they're the best thing that ever did anything. You know who was making the money was the nerds. Those who didn't care what it looked like, they had a nose in the book and learned how to do something while they were in school started. And the girls that married a football star, they probably were divorced. Nobody married the nerd because he looked like a goober. I mean, but guess what? He made it through college and he learned how to work on a computer. Went to either formed his own company. By the way, Apple computers were formed in a nerd's garage. All of a sudden, they found themselves in the big dollar job, you see. What I'm trying to tell you is it had nothing to do with the way they look. And you should not have a desire to look the way the world looks just so you'll be in passion. Romans 12:2 says, be not conformed to this world. That word conform really means be not passion according to this world. And the Bible doesn't know anything about passions per se in that day. Don't passion yourself after the world. Don't give the image and expression from your body of the world. But he said, be transformed. He said, that's what counts. By the renewing of your mind. All right. Not only that, I believe he's saying here when he says love not the world, not to have a desire to act like the world acts. You know, I never had a bad cussing problem until I went to work at the fire department. 1970. Now, that fireman boy, they know how to talk bad. And it wasn't long, I began to talk like they talk. I mean, it wasn't that I really tried, but I was just around it, you see, for 24 hours every third day, that it just become a part of me, and I just began to act like they act, because I just felt like that's the way a fireman acts, you see. He said, don't act like the rest of the world acts, because the way that they're acting is probably not right to begin with. And you don't perform like the rest of the world performs, because that's all most of the world's doing, putting on a performance. That's all a lot of religion today is just a performance. Said you act like God wants you to act. You carry yourself about and you express yourself the way God would have you to express yourself. Let's go on. Finally, we need to talk about the destiny of this world. Why do you say love, not the world? Well, just consider the end of this world. Look at verse 17 there, what he said. And the world does what? Passes away. Now the tense of that word passeth actually is this. It is in the process right now of passing away. And that's what Jesus was talking about when he said, lay not treasures up for yourself here on earth, but lay your treasures up in heaven. Why? Because I've got news for you. This world is passing away. It's in the process of dying because of the curse of sin and because of man's presence here. Amen? And so why in the world are we going to be so concerned with this world when it's going to pass away anyway? I mean, listen, when you close your eyes in death, it's over as far as this world goes for you. Unless you're a child of God, you won't come back and so corrupt. And when you come back, it's going to be a good one. Curse is going to be removed. That is what you need to think about, is your final destiny. The Bible talks about the world passed before the flood. God destroyed that world because of sin. It passed away. You know what? You can't find Enoch walking around preaching no more. You can't find Noah walking around preaching no more. God destroyed that world. He talks about this present world that is going to pass away with a fervent heat, and all these elements are going to dissolve. So guess what? You can look like Michael. You can look like Elvis. You can drive a fine car. You can have everything in the world. But it's not going to last. It's going to all dissolve one day and be gone. So why waste the time and the effort trying to keep up with this world system that the devil has set up? You see, because here is the bottom line. All the devil wants to do is to occupy your mind and razzle and dazzle you until you die. Amen. Without God and without Christ. And he'll use anything he can do to do that. Huh? You say, you believe, you don't believe in having a good time. I do believe in having, I have a good time. I'm going to have a good time, whether the religious crowd likes it or not. I'm going to enjoy being a Christian. And I'm going to enjoy life as much as I possibly can. But I don't have to do what the rest of the world does and how they act like they act to prove to somebody that I enjoy life. I enjoy jumping off a stump and doing a cannonball like an 8-year-old. I enjoy that. Well, that's stupid. I don't care. I enjoy it. It thrills a child, and we have a good time. So you just go to the house and stuff your collar, and you just have a good time doing that. I'm going to enjoy life, religious crap. So just talk all you want to, because I ain't going to listen. No, I ain't listening. It ain't bothering me. Because why? This world's going to pass away. Guess what? I love my little old house. But guess what? It's going to burn. It's going to be gone. Huh? And that's why I don't worry, because I don't have X number of bedrooms, because I don't have, you know, pretty this and pretty that. And believe me, Miss Ann, she comes so far back in the country, those things aren't important to her. And I was lucky there. A lot of you fellas ain't that lucky. You've got to have everything real nice. And that's wonderful. If that's what makes you happy, good. But you see, it's going to burn up. So whenever you consider buying a new car, you're going to finance it for 6 years, you might ought to think about buying one that you can finance for 3 years, you know. Because it's going to get you from point A to point B. You say, well, that's ridiculous. That's probably what the world would say. I don't doubt that. But yet, you cannot deny this. The destiny of it all is going to pass away. You know what? My old Toyota, I'm driving around on a body full of rust. I don't know how much longer it's going to go before I just go to drag it. You see, it's passing away. You know what? If you don't spray around your house, the termites eat it up. It rots. You can't throw a board on the ground without it rotting in 2 days. You've got to buy some kind of treated material and hope that they treated it right, or it's going to rot no more. Why? Because the world's passing away. So the destiny of this world is to pass away, what the Bible says. You can't deny that. If you deny that, go up here, look at Finley Cemetery. Go down, look at Evergreen. Go any direction you want to, you can find a cemetery. To them folks, it's all gone, and it's all over. It's all over for Howard Hughes. He don't have two pennies to rub together right now. He died without Christ. There's a good chance that he did. I wish it weren't so. It's all coming to an end. And what's going to count then is when you stand before God. You know something? Michael Jackson's not going to stand before God with a glove. Don't ask me why I'm picking on him tonight. I don't hold nothing personally against him. Elvis Presley, just go somebody else. I don't know too many people to talk about like that. I'm sorry. It's not going to matter. You can talk all you want to. You can say, I had this, I had that, and I did this, and I did that. And what's going to count are the first words you hear come out of his mouth. It's going to be whether you hear the word enter or you hear the word depart. That's what's going to count. You're going to forget about what you wore on planet Earth. You're going to forget about what you rode around in, whether you rode around in a fine car or you rode a camel. You're not going to worry about it. You're going to worry about, did I get things right with God before I died? And this world system is set up for one reason, and that is to get your mind off of that. Young person, y'all have a good time. And y'all dress good. Y'all dress good. And I hope you can. But don't let it get your mind off of the real thing. And that is your relationship with a real God. And so John said, don't you fall in love with this world. Don't you count this world so precious to you that it overwhelms your love for God. Jesus said, no man can love two masters. And so if you love the world, you're not in love with God. You're not in love with God. You're not in love with God. You see, I know young people, you think, well, man, this Christian business is just a bore. I mean, you can't have no fun. That ain't true. The devil done told you a big time lie. I've been happier since I've been a Christian, had a lot of heartache, and I've been happier since I've been saved than I've ever been happy in my entire life. Because I never really knew what life was about. And it ain't about just going to church. I enjoy that because I love you people. Now, I didn't love y'all, I wouldn't bother to come. I just plain truth about it. But I love y'all. And I enjoy worshiping God together with you. God commanded us to do that. And I like it. But guess what? I'm going home in a few minutes. I'm going somewhere tomorrow. And I'm going to do my best to have a good time. Because the devil has told us today that in order for you to be an influence in this world, that you've got to be a jagged-jawed, lofty-eyed, stiff-necked, miserable religious person in order to impress somebody with your religion. That's just not so. I love life. I love the Lord. I'm going to have a good time with life. If it means I'm down playing with the child, or if it means that I'm out there at the fire department, I'm going to do all I can to have a good time and enjoy it. Because the world has seen enough of these miserable, ragged Christians. And they don't want nothing to do with it. I'm going to be happy. And I have joy tonight because I have things in the right perspective. If I let that get out of perspective, it's all over. Huh? You know, Jim Baker may have started with good intentions, but he got sidetracked by the gold and the silver, the automobiles, the celebrity. Huh? He got sidetracked. He got his eyes on the world. And if that's success for the world, it must mean success for me. So I need to drive a car like they drive. I need to have what they have. I need to do what they do. And I'm just using it for an example that applies to us also. John said, listen, my little children, don't fall in love with this world. Don't fall in love with this world. Because if the love of the world is in you, then be assured the love of the Father is not. All he's saying is you can't love the world and love God at the same time. You just can't do it. You just can't do it. We'll continue.